It's an incredible privilege to stand here this morning. And whenever you prepare a sermon, you're always like, Lord, have I heard you right? Have I heard what you want to say to your church? And I just want to encourage each and every single person that brought a prophetic word this morning, that sang a song, every single one of those things had a part of this preach in it. And this morning, I want to encourage you to hear what I'm going to say. And I want the guys to put my presentation on. I hope it's going to work well this morning. And this morning, I want to speak about on purpose. Living with eternal intentionality. God does things in our lives on purpose. Who of you guys agree with me on that? God is a God that does things on purpose. Sometimes we don't understand why He does things. We don't always know why. But what He does is we understand out of Scripture. And if you guys can pop the next slide up for me. In Romans 8:28 it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And I want to ask, who's been called according to God's purpose this morning? Each one of us sitting here this morning, we've all been called for a purpose and for a plan. My next slide, please. It says purpose is a noun. Who knows what a noun is? Eh? We've all been to school, a noun. It says it's the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. We've been created on purpose. We're here this morning on purpose because God planned and destined for us to be here this morning. Thanks, Corbis. God did things in the Old Testament on purpose. He created the earth. Do you know that in the beginning, the Trinity was there. It was God, it was the Holy Spirit, and it was Jesus. And they were one, and they were quite happy with each other. All on their own. They could exist, for they have existed for all eternity past, and they will exist for all eternity future. But yet in that moment, what did God say? He said, I wanted to create the earth. Because He did it on purpose. Second of all, He created us. If you read in Genesis, it speaks about where God spoke and everything was created. He spoke and the stars were there. He spoke and it became land. He spoke and the waters were gathered together. But there was something different that He did. He took man out of the dust and He created man by hand. I think that's kind of like God wanting to be a part of us. Because we're all special. We're all the ones that God has created us to be. Because He took time in each one of us. The third thing is the flood. The world was so full of sin, it was so terrible that God, in His wisdom, decided to flood the earth. And so what He did was, after He flooded the earth, while He was deciding that, He saved Noah and his family. He saved them out of this. He could have destroyed them as well, but He didn't. He decided, He said, Noah was a man that found favor in God's eyes because He loved him. And God saved him. Why? Because He wanted to continue having a relationship with us. The fourth thing, Joseph got sold into Egypt. God did it on purpose. I want to ask, who's ever here been miff at your family? Hands up. Who's been miff at your wife before? All the husbands. Hey? I'm sure John Berry's never been miff at his wife. Wives, who's been miff at their husbands? Hey? My wife has been very miff at me many times. I've had pots flying at my head before. Luckily not knives yet, so I've been okay. But Joseph, what happened was he had something that God placed on his life, and his brothers became jealous. because of what God put on him. And what they did was they sold him into Egypt. It wasn't his choice to go there. And you know what the worst was? He got there and he got working in this guy's house. And the wife thought that he was quite good looking. And he decided he wasn't going to take part in this whole exercise. And he ended up in jail for doing nothing wrong. How many years do you guys think he spent in jail? 12 years, roughly. 12 years sitting in jail, totally, totally innocent. But yet God had a plan. And you know what happened? I went and did some research about it. After Joseph got into Egypt, the Israelites spent 400 years in Egypt. That's a long time. And then what happened was there was a young guy that got born, Moses. He was born in Egypt and he was called to deliver God's people. And he tried to get out of it. He tried to say, Lord, but I can't lead these people because I stutter. When my wife is angry at me, I stutter. I'm going to chirp my wife all the time while I'm preaching this morning. Listen, I know she doesn't get offended with me, so I can. So what happens is then God took them 40 years in the desert. In my next slide, please. I'm sure this is how it went in the desert. Recalculating. I can imagine Moses was getting quite fed up. But imagine spending 40 years in the desert, walking around in circles. My next slide, please. In that time that they were in the desert, what did God do? He brought a pillar of smoke and fire. And what he did is it was the physical presence of God amongst his people. In the olden days, that was what happened because the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They had the presence of God like this. And the thing is, God was leading his people. And God did it on purpose. Do you know why God led them 40 years in the desert? Because they got to the promised land, they saw what God had for them, and they said, there's no way. No, thank you, Lord. I don't want it. And because of that, only two of the spies actually went into the promised land. Not even Moses. Because he got angry at the people and he hit the rock. And he stayed on this side. Only two spies actually went in. You know that Caleb, when he went into the promised land, the oak was 85 years old. I want to ask, who's close to 80 years? Yeah. Most of the guys here is between 65 and 78, maybe 80. Can I tell you something? Caleb decided to go and still fight for his inheritance at that time. He didn't just sit down and say, sorry, I'm old now. I can't do this anymore. He got up and he said, I'm going to fight. So if you over the age of 55 and 60, you're not dead yet. You're not a retiree, you're a refiree. And I think sometimes we as young people can learn a lot from the older people. When I was in school, I thought my parents didn't know much. When I left school, I thought they knew a little bit less. Ja, Andre, asseblief. Ek gaan myself nat maak met daai water. Thanks. Aha. When I got married, I realized that my parents knew a lot more than I thought. When I got to the age of 30, I realized that they know a heck of a lot more than I even imagined. And now that I'm almost 39, I know that they knew a lot. You know what the scary thing is I never wanted to be like my dad. But now I see what my kids do, and I do things, and I realize my dad used to do it, and I'm doing it. Because my dad was my role model. And this morning, it's a real privilege to have my parents here this morning. And what happened was, when that was in the midst of the Israelites, it cultivated an habitual nature amongst the people to look at the presence of the Lord every day. Whenever they got out of their tent, what happened was they looked up and they saw the pillar and the smoke. They saw the cloud and the fire. And there was never a question of what if. It was a question of when God moves, we've got to get up and we've got to go. And then we move on to the next slide, which God did things on purpose in the New Testament. It is Jesus came as the Savior of all mankind. Who of you agree with me on that point? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We did it this morning. Communion. He was raised again in 3 days. And when he got raised, he appeared to over 500 people to make sure that people knew that he is the Son of God. He promised the Holy Spirit in Acts. And then he established the church. This is church. This is a school hall. This is not the church. The church is us. Each and every single one of us. And when I go on to my next slide, I've taken the word on purpose and I've broken it up into an acronym. And I want us to work through it this morning. And I've been preparing the sermon for a couple of weeks. Well, months, really. And everything that was shared this morning confirmed that today is the day that God wanted to share it with us. Because God does things in our lives on purpose. An on button. Who of you guys know that you can't use something unless you put it on? Okay? In the morning, I want to ask whose husband's wives have got an on button in the morning? My wife has. It's called coffee. Without coffee, my wife cannot operate. But what happens is, the day we gave our lives to Jesus, the day we came to the point of salvation, there was an on button that got pushed. We came alive. Because before Jesus came, before we came and took him into our lives, nothing used to irritate you. Nothing used to convict you. You could do what you wanted. You said what you wanted. You treated people the way that you did. But the day that on button came and Jesus came into your life and became Lord and Savior of your life, conviction came alive. You start becoming convicted of the things in our lives. Because suddenly you realize, smoking, it's sin. I don't feel that this is what God wants me to do. I've got to let it go. Swearing. Hey? Who of us still uses the word farny every now and then? I hope there's no farny here this morning. If you are, sorry. But what happens is, sometimes we allow this, the things that was normal to us in the world is no longer normal for us. We are different. You don't go to work and everybody just thinks you're the same guy. Because when Jesus comes in, you change and you become different. Because something came alive in you. It says, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God breathed into you and me. And what happens is, it's put a process in place, and it's called seasons. And this morning, we're all in a different season. Some of us are in a season where things are going really, really well. There's some of us in seasons that it's not going so well. But where we are at the moment, God planned you to be there for now. And the next one, the P, stands for promise. Who of you guys have ever had a prophetic word over your life? Hey? We've all had promises. You know, there's 3,000 promises, over 3,000 promises in the Word of God. 3,000. The scripture at the top, 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us by, to Himself, by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And this is the hardest scripture, I think, for all of us. Philippians 1 verse 6. I am certain that God who began the good work within you and me will continue His work until it is finally finished. I have good news for you. Where you find yourself, it's not going to go away. The trial that we might be going through at the moment might not go away because God doesn't save you out of it. He takes you through it. The Israelites weren't taken over the Red Sea. They were taken through it. Because God is busy building into us. And promise gives good grounds for expecting. We can expect God to do stuff in our lives. And our next slide. Are you guys still with me? Okay, I've only got half an hour, so I'm trying to get it all in. There's an undoing that needs to happen. And I want to tell you guys, a couple of years ago, from about 2010, I started a business. I was in partnership with my uncle. And we were doing exceptionally well. In the interim, in 2012, we planted a church, Kim and myself. And it was going well. But you know what? God had to undo what I did. Because what happened was, I found identity in what I was doing. I found identity in what I was, the job that I was doing, the fact that I was leading a church. I found my identity in that. And you know what God had to do? He had to undo those things. He had to take me out of it. And you know what happens is sometimes we walk around the mountain for a while. In 2014, God spoke to Kim and I and said, you've got to be part of Josh Gen. I didn't listen to God. And you know what? We had to walk around the mountain. And we came back and started exactly, yeah, where we were right in the beginning. Because we walked around the mountain because we didn't allow God and we didn't listen. I was disobedient. And this morning we had the word about obedience. And so many times we choose not to walk this process. And what happens is God will not leave you, but He will take you and He will walk with you around the mountain. He'll still provide for you. He will still be there for you. He'll still walk with you, but He's going to bring you back to where you started because He wants you to walk the process. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Josh Jen's logo, dying to live. Are we really dying to ourselves? That's what God wants us to do because it's not about us. It's never been about us. My next slide, please. Then there's a rebuilding that God has to do. What He does is He gets rid of all the rubble in our lives. He takes the foundations and He rebuilds the foundations. Because my dad's a builder, so I know what that's about. Is when you take a house and you rebuild it, you've got to take everything else out and rebuild it. And many times what we do is we build our house, but we build it on the sand. Because we try and build it ourselves. And what God needs to do is He needs to go and He needs to break down the walls that we've built. Because many times we have people wanting to speak into our lives and wanting to come and correct us and lead us, but we build walls because we're like, no, no, you can touch every area but that little area. And it's not easy. But God wants to work in us and through us. But we need to allow people to speak to us. And He puts boundaries in place. You know that a little child, if you have a little baby and you allow that child to do whatever it does, do you know that studies have shown that child will not amount to much in his life. But children love discipline. Children love boundaries. And even us as adults. Because what happens is, when we have boundaries in place, if you look at a river, if there's no boundaries, if there's no walls, that river becomes a marsh. It can't live. Nothing can eventually live there. Except alligators. But what happens is, if you take a river and you put boundaries in place, what happens is that river runs, it comes in the one end, it goes out the other side, and it brings life. And sometimes for us in our lives, we get to these places where we struggle with boundaries. We struggle when people put systems and places and things in place for us. They're not doing it because they're nasty, they're doing it because they love you. Because family loves you. And our reaction, I hope this works. This is normally what our reaction is. I hope it works. Doesn't work properly. Silence! I kill you! How many times do we get to that place where we don't like it when people speak into our lives? We try and bat it away like, no, just leave it be. And 10-1, I'm going to get tested on this. Where are you guys going?
Silence! I kill you!
And can I tell you, when God speaks to us, the next slide, please. He uses and involves people. That's how God speaks to us in the church. And may I ask, I know this is a little bit, can I ask all the elders, the deacons, and the comm leaders to stand for me, please? Guys, can I tell you this morning, these guys, we need to honor each one of these men and women. You know why I say that? It's because they love you. They give their time for you. And I want to tell you something. If you don't know why these guys are in the positions that they're in, just go sit with them and listen to their stories. Kim and I, we've sat with some of the elders couples, and we've listened to their stories. And I can tell you something. They've walked a journey. And sometimes it's hard. You don't want to listen to what they say to you. But God's put them here because they guard your souls. They help you to get into heaven. Because you can't do this by yourself. You cannot walk this journey on your own. Thanks, guys. You can all sit. And God uses elders, deacons, comm leaders, husbands, wives, and even your children. Many times we'll sit and Kim will address me on something. It's like Andrew always says, that little alien comes out. And then I've got to go and sit and I've got to think about it. And I've got to be like, is my wife saying and telling the truth? And you know what? Can I say, woman, you're about normally 99% right. I'm pushing the boundary, I know. But what happens is, we need to allow people to speak into our lives. Guys, this is the only way we're going to do it. Is if we allow people into our space. Because we can't live the journey on our own. We cannot deal with things that we struggle with on our own. You cannot do it. Because the Bible says that if one walks and he falls, he will lay there by himself. But when two walk together and one trips and falls, there is another to pick him up and to carry him. We're family. Each one of us. My next slide. That picture. My wife said I looked like that when she married me. I now have a six pack somewhere in here. Wives, your husband still has a six-pack somewhere in there. But that's the process that God does with us. He heats you. He beats you. And he cools you. I know it sounds harsh. I'll explain it now. Next slide, please. What does heat do? Heat brings out impurities. You know that when God wants to deal with your character, he turns up the heat. Because what happens is when heat comes, what it does is it brings out all the impurities in your heart. It deals with the stuff that you don't normally want to deal with. It makes the metal moldable. You cannot mold a piece of metal into a sword if it's not heated. Then the beating process is the molding process. What happens is a blacksmith takes that piece of metal and he beats it and beats it and beats it and beats it with a hammer until it becomes a beautiful sword. And what he does is he makes it useful. A piece of normal round piece of metal can't do anything for you. But when it becomes a kitchen knife, you can use it. You can cut vegetables. You can throw it at your husband. Yes, you guys look so serious. I've got a... And what happens is it builds our character. It builds character. And the other day I was talking to someone. And I said to this young guy, I said to him, if you had to be famous today or tomorrow, would your character be strong enough to be able to handle it? If God had to put you into a position of incredible power tomorrow, would you be able to handle it? Would your character be strong enough to handle this? And then there's a cooling process. And there's two ways that the blacksmith does it. There's the slow process that he cools down the sword slowly so it retains its shape a little bit. And so he can still mold it, little edges that he can take off. But then when he's heated it up again, he goes and he cools it quickly in an oil. And he does that, why? Because the sword has to become brittle but yet carry strength. Because if it doesn't become brittle in its strength, it cannot be sharpened. It has to go through that process. And sometimes what God does is he wants us to retain our shape. Because when you're a Christian and you start the journey from here to there, our aim is to become holy in God. But the thing is we can't take the process and go back to point number one again. I remember when I became a Christian, when I was still 16, every time I sinned, I would go up on the Sunday morning and repent, Lord, I'm giving my heart to you again. How many has done that? Lots of us. But the thing is, God doesn't want us to go back there and start again. He wants us to stay where we are because he's shaped us and he wants us to move into all glory with him. And it develops perseverance. When things get tough, do we up and tuck our tail and run? Or do we stand and we build? We say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to come through for me. When we struggle with things in our lives, when things get tough, when relationships in the church get tough, do we stick through it or do we tuck and run? And it says, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James 1 verse 2 to 4. Guys, this is the process that God is taking us on. And when we get to this place, we have our next little video clip.
Stop touching me!
Who's ever felt like that? We have. Because what happens is, it's at that time where God starts scratching. You know what happens is in lives, we as Christians, we walk and we're in a battle all the time. But what happens is we pick up scars. I've got this scar. Not because I fought a guy off to get my wife. No. I was 2 years old and we lived on a farm. And they were building a road and I was very hyperactive. And they said to me, stay on this side. And I wanted to go to my gran and I ran. And my uncle took a brick and he threw it over his shoulder like this because they had to build a road. And the brick hit me against the head. And I've carried that scar with me my whole life. 37 years I've carried that scar. And these people sitting here this morning who's carrying scars of the journey that you've walked. And there's many times we still have wounds that has never been healed. Because God wants to come and he wants to open those wounds and get the stuff out so it can heal. It won't go away. It will become a scar. But God does things on purpose in our lives so that we can help others along their journey. Kim and I, over the past couple of years, we lost everything. I lost my business twice. We lost cars. We lost so many things. But yet in the process, you know what? God is a God that restores. Can I get the next slide, please? And Tanya shared this morning about positioning your heart. It means to put it in a particular place. It says God has placed the parts in the body, everyone of them, just as he wanted them to be. In 1 Corinthians 12 verse 18. You know that you are here in this church because God placed you. You know that you are special. And sometimes we get irritated when people phone us and ask you, why weren't you at church on Sunday? We didn't see you at Com. Are you okay? Can I tell you something? You know why they phone you? It's because they miss you. Because you are special, a special part of this congregation. When we've got common a Wednesday night and the young guys don't come, I miss them. Kim and I, we'll sit and just, how's that guy doing? Sometimes we even feel rejected, like the guys don't like us. Maybe us think of it. But guys, we don't do it because we have to do it. We do it because we love you. Because you are a part of this body. And this body cannot work without you. Because no one has your story. No one carries what you can do. Because you can lead someone to salvation like no one else can. Because you're special in this place. Oh. The next one is to overcome. To overcome by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Overcoming. What does that mean? It's when the devil comes and you struggle with sin in your life or you have temptation coming your way, you bat it for a six and you say, no, I'm going to overcome by the word of their testimony. I want to ask you, who's shared a testimony of God's faithfulness and said it this morning? We've prayed for people. There's been people being prayed for. Have you shared your testimony of how faithful God is? And now I can share with you, well, how faithful God has been for Kim and I. A month ago, we had terrible furniture. Ask the young guys. They would come and sit by us and then after Com, they'd be walking like this to their cars. Because the couches are so uncomfortable. My wife was too embarrassed to invite anyone to come visit us. And you know what? Kim and I, this last month had passed. The Monday, I put my aunts asked who's going to Otsu, and I put my hand up. Do you know that I had zero money in our account? Zip, nothing. I was like, Lord, I don't know. I've said we're going to Otsu, and I'm trusting you. I looked I got up, it was like the second of the month. I paid my rent and everything. There wasn't much money left. We bought a little bit of groceries and I was like, Lord, I'm going to have to trust you. I looked at the electricity box and there was 15 units and it was the fourth. And I was like, Lord, I don't know how we're going to make this month, but I'm going to trust you. I get a message from my mother. She says, no, someone's blessed you guys with 500 rands electricity. Puts it in the box. Just that. The next day, Kim comes back from a ladies' meeting. She opens the fridge and she's like, Lord. I also look at the fridge and I'm like, geez, maybe there's a compartment at the back that there's maybe food in there. We get a phone call. Hey, guys, we want to come drop some stuff off at your house. We go in there. People brought us groceries enough for the entire month. The Thursday before we were supposed to leave on the camp even, before we even went on the church camp, we didn't have anything. The Thursday evening, I got a payment from a doctor because I work with medical doctors. I place doctors in hospitals. They paid me for a shift that they owed me, and that gave us enough money to buy us the beds and everything that we needed for the camp. We went on the camp. The next week, I had a client that had to pay me. They paid me again on the Thursday. That gave us the money to drive to Oudtshoorn. Guys, God is faithful. My mother-in-law phones me. She says, guys, I want to bless you with a couch. Just make sure you go and fetch it. Here I go off to Russell. I get his little trailer. Off I go. It's a Weatherly's couch. It's like a 25,000 rand couch. You know, my mother-in-law got it for 1,000 rand. It's got no mark on it. She phones us. She says, hey, guys, I want to give you guys, there's a bed. Are you guys, like, interested? We're like, yeah. She says, okay, they'll give it to us for 2,500. Well, I go and I look at the bed, Kim and I, we're like, yes, Lord, we really want this bed, but we can't have it now. The lady phones us back. She says, guys, I'll give it to you for 2,000 rand. Kim's mom phones us. She says, listen, I'll pay for it. It's a wooden Weatherly's bed with posts, wooden posts and a headboard and everything. At the moment, our house is so full of furniture, we don't know what to do with it. Guys, that's God's faithfulness. Last year, October, our washing machine packed up. The young guys in our comm were only in our comm for 2 weeks. They went and bought us a washing machine for 4,500 grand. Guys, that's family. That's when God comes and we testify of his faithfulness for us. I was forced to start a business again 2 months ago. Can I tell you guys, God, the first month was a faith month. This month, can I tell you something? I've done 3 times the turnover what I did the month before. That's God's faithfulness. Because we testify of that. Ants said last week when he did the financial teaching, tithes to get you out of your issues. Can I tell you, it works. Trust God. Why? Because you don't put faith in yourself. You put your faith in him. We need to change the way that we see things. You guys still with me? Am I still in time? I hope I'm not over my time. I'm almost there. Next slide. I'm almost done. This morning, we were talking about a song in worship, a song in our hearts. It says in Psalm 40 verse 3, has put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. They've done a study and they found that inside your DNA, there's music. If they take your DNA sequence and they put notes to it, it creates a song. It's true. Imagine, each one of us has got a song. I know some of us can't necessarily sing on key, but how much do you sing in the shower? How much do you praise God for where you are in your situation? The bottom picture shows water. We are made up of 64% water. 94. Our blood is 94% water. Women's got 60% water. Men are 65%. Do you know why women have only got 60%? Because it's got to make space for their brain with everything in it. Because women, they say women's brains like spaghetti. It just works all the time. Men's got nothing boxes and extra space. But what happens is they found that water reacts to music. And so what happens is, if you listen to praise and worship, what happens is water crystals become clear and bright. Looks like diamonds. If you listen to like dark music, it actually becomes brown and like an ugly shape. So imagine your body reacts to God when you praise Him. When you feel sick, what does it say? It says times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Because your body reacts to the Lord's presence. And my last one, eternity in mind. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of them. And nothing else. We sang that song. Guys, we need to start having eternity in our hearts. We don't live for the now. Kevin said it this morning, we don't live for the greediness of ourselves. I want to encourage you, if you've got an extra 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 rand in your account, you know what you do? You sow and you bless someone, but also you pay and you go on a trip. We went to Oudtshoorn. My wife just wanted to move to Oudtshoorn. Because God stirred our hearts for those people. Go on a trip. Get involved. Get into the nations. See what God has called you, because we have eternity in our hearts. And the final slide. Salvation. The day we die, we can only take those with us that have given their lives to Jesus. You cannot take your car. You cannot take your house. You cannot take your money. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved but Jesus Christ. And I want to ask this morning, if there's anyone here that has never made a commitment to Jesus. And you don't understand why you're in your situation. And it's like almost like, Lord, you've forgotten about me. I want to give you that chance to step into this journey. To allow God to do things on purpose in your life. To push that on button. To give you a promise. To undo the things in your life. To rebuild you the way He wants you. To position your heart. To overcome. Put a song in your heart and to focus you on eternity. And I want us to close our eyes and I just want to pray and I'll hand over to Ants. Father, this morning, Lord, we desire you to come and to be in our hearts, Lord. Father, we know this morning that you do things on purpose because you love us. Lord, we're here in this body, in this church, because you love us. And Lord Jesus, we want to have a song in our hearts this morning. And we want to sing that song saying nothing else, because it's you. And Father, we love you and we worship you this morning, Lord. Be with us. Lord, lead us and guide us so we can be your people. In Jesus' name, amen.